This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a set of 10 uniquely beautiful diamond rings, and they're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com. This exciting collection of truly unique, limited edition diamond engagement rings is available now only at BlueNile.com.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A Thursday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, and I'm here with Whitley Sendretto of 95.7 The Game. Whitley, thanks so much for joining me. There's a lot happening with the Warriors, and I want to get into all of that, including the fact that they don't even have a center right now on the roster, but these are just regular season games that we're talking about, right? And you've got much bigger things to worry about because your Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl again. How are you feeling right now?
Wes, I'm a hot mess. I am a nervous wreck. I'm not even going to lie. I've just been this whole week, my stomach's been nuts. I'm excited, don't get me wrong, but I'm already, you know, last year I watched the Super Bowl alone and they won. And this year, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so my plan this year is to also watch a Super Bowl alone. But I have to keep the tradition going just because good luck reasons. But I am super excited. Mahomes versus Brady. I cannot wait.
I understand why you are nervous, and I want to welcome you into my world for like the last 15 years. Because as a Dolphins fan, I was just in a perpetual state of nervousness when it came to Tom Brady. The Chiefs are so much better. They just are from top to bottom. But I cannot shake the fact that I don't care that he's old. I don't care that he didn't even have a good game in the NFC Championship game, but it's still Tom Brady. Like that is so worrisome.
That's what I've been saying. Just because, like you said, I believe truly that the Chiefs are the better team, but it's Tom Brady and I wouldn't put anything past them. And Brady makes me nervous. I mean, we had to face him in the AFC for however many years, and I dreaded that every single year. So when the Chiefs finally made it to the Super Bowl last year, I'm like, okay, they don't have to worry about the Patriots. And that's when I kind of knew I felt good about the 49ers. The Chiefs had a good chance. But this year is just, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Tom Brady just makes me nervous.
I don't blame you. And you guys have Patrick Mahomes. He's the next great quarterback. He is the current great quarterback. But, let's shift gears now, I guess, to the Warriors, who not as complete a team as the Kansas City Chiefs. In fact, so incomplete that they don't even have a healthy center on the roster. We're recording this a few hours before they play the Dallas Mavericks tonight. Mm-hmm. The Mavs, if you're going to go into a game without a center, they're not the worst team to play without a center. They have Kristaps Porzingis, and he's enormously tall, but he's more perimeter oriented. He's not going to kill you on the boards. He's not going to do those things. So I guess they could survive these first couple of games against the Mavericks, but it sounds like Kevon Looney's injury could be a little bit longer term than maybe they initially had thought right after that game against the Celtics when he injured his ankle. So what do you think that they should do here at center?
It just seems like when it rains, it pours, right? Like it just had to be at the center position. And this is where I think Draymond, he's going to be a huge, this is all going to come down on Draymond coming up on this road trip. And I think he's going to be the difference if they want to try to go maybe 3-1 versus 1-3 on this trip. But Draymond Green, he's going to have to crash the boards. He hasn't been rebounding great this season. They're going to need all of his energy. They're going to need Draymond from a couple years ago if they want to get a couple wins on this road trip. I think Juan Toscano-Anderson will probably see him start. He started the second half after Kevon got injured. But ultimately, I think this is really good. This is Draymond's opportunity to really silence the critics. They've been talking a lot. So I think it's going to come down to Draymond on this road trip list.
Yeah, and you mentioned that lineup with Juan Toscano-Anderson starting. This lineup in that game against Boston, even though they lost the game, Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Draymond Green with Kent Bazemore. In that five-man group was a plus 10 in 12.4 minutes together. That seems to me, I would like to see more of that lineup. And Kent Bazemore hasn't been getting a ton of minutes this year. I think in that Celtics loss, he played just 17 minutes, if I have that right. Mm-hmm. I would like to see him play a little bit more with those guys. Maybe you continue to sort of fade Kelly Oubre's minutes away from playing so much with Steph, because when you put Oubre in that spot with Bazemore, which is basically going to be the starting lineup that you outlined, they were minus seven in a little bit less than 4 minutes. Now, that was one of the worst games Kelly Oubre has had of a bunch of pretty bad games that he's had.
A roller coaster ride.
I do want to touch on Oubre a little bit later on, but I think you're right about Draymond Green. And it was interesting that I think the game before all of this happened, he said, yeah, I'm like two or three weeks away from being in play, exactly, in peak playoff shape or peak playing shape. All right, well, you kind of need to do that now. The Warriors don't really have 2 or 3 weeks anymore with him.
And that's the thing. We're at the 21 games now? They're past the 20-game mark. And this is kind of the time where I'm like, you can only ride storylines for so long. Mm-hmm. And some things have to change, obviously. And Draymond, you know, he was sick during training camp and all that. I would think maybe he has his win back by now. And that's why I'm just kind of waiting. Okay, well, when are we going to see the Draymond that we know?
I like the way that he's pushed the pace. I actually like Draymond Green so much more on offense this year than even on defense.
Exactly.
Especially when they put the ball in his hands, I think they could do more of that. It seems like they'll do it for one game and then they kind of take it out of his hands the next game. I thought in that against Phoenix, you know, you had him basically playing point guard and Steph Curry doing all the off-ball stuff that Steph likes to do. And then against Boston, mm-hmm, it just felt like Steph Curry was on the ball for the rest of the game there. Or for most of the game, and Draymond, you know, wasn't as much sort of facilitating the offense. I wonder if that is Steve Kerr sort of doing this dance of, all right, we can give it to you. We can, you know, increase the usage rating. We can give it to you all this stuff for one game, but then we kind of have to pull the reins back in the next game because he's not, mm-hmm, in condition. Because I agree with you. It just, you know, the training camp and all that stuff, the positive test, the foot injury, at some point, you know, you're a veteran, you got to know how to take care of your body, and you should really, you're going to be 2 or 3 weeks away. That's halfway through the season. Like, that's the second part of the season, 2-3 weeks away.
Exactly. We see these other teams that have been completely, you know, decimated by COVID protocols or COVID itself. And it's just, you have to kind of find a way to get through it. And I haven't had it, so I can't, you know, I can't even judge, like, who knows how it affects someone's body. Obviously it's not great. But yeah, Draymond, I'm just waiting for that energy that we all know. But yeah, hopefully we'll see that from him. Like I said, this road trip, they're going to have that from Draymond if they want to compete on the road. But like you said, too, the Mavericks, he's going to have to be going up against Porzingis and then the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be easy on Draymond. He's going to get time at the five. So this is going to be a good test of his conditioning, I think, on this road trip, too.
Yeah, you'll see, obviously, Eric Paschal there. I don't know that we'll see Juan Toscano-Anderson at the five. I think they're going to play as many minutes possible of Draymond and Paschal. I would actually like to see them use like Kelly Oubre at center, only because nothing else seems to be working.
I mean, what could it hurt, right? Like, why not try it?
His wingspan is as big as any of Paschal and Draymond. I mean, obviously, he's not as strong. He's not as big. But he could jump super high. He, you know, so maybe there's some sort of semblance of rim protection. I just, mm-hmm, think with him, you know, they kind of unlocked something with Eric Paschal after Marquese Chris went down. Maybe, mm-hmm, this is a way to maybe unlock something with Kelly Oubre. I don't know.
Let's talk about our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now, while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online instead at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low without the markup that you find at chain stores or from pushy salespeople. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then find the How Did You Hear About Us box and write the phrase "locked on" there so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
the other option, obviously, is do they want to go out and sign somebody? And I think the thing here to keep in mind is even if they did go and sign somebody or called anybody up from the G League or just acquired a new player in any way, that player would still have to register 6 straight days of a negative coronavirus test. So that player wouldn't help them very much over the next stretch of games. And by then, James Wiseman might be back from his thing. So it wouldn't super matter. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I keep interrupting you.
No,
like, are you surprised? Obviously, the center position in the NBA is different this season or this year, or like, you know, as of late, completely different than how they used to use the center. And teams aren't revolved around the center position. But are you surprised when Marquese Chris went down, they didn't maybe try to bring someone in then? I mean, obviously, they didn't know that Wiseman and Looney were going to get injured right around the same time. Right. But now it's kind of, you know, maybe they should have brought someone in.
Yeah, and that's a good point because it kind of feels like they should bring somebody in now in case somebody gets hurt down the line. I wasn't that surprised when they didn't bring in somebody because I thought they did. They had major questions about what it is that they were going to do with Eric Paschal in training camp. Yeah. And I think they wanted to see if this might be an opportunity to find a role for Paschal. And because he played so well as that, you know, second unit center, they decided, you know what, let's just not do anything. But now the problem with that is you're one more injury away from really needing some center depth. And it turns out that they're now after two injuries, they have zero centers. So I do think despite, you know, the protocols and all this stuff, like you should probably still go make a move now because Kevon Looney has an injury history. James Wiseman's 19 years old. You can't rely on a 19-year-old for anything. I feel like Draymond Green, there's a reason he hasn't played any minutes at center until Boston, right? Like he has not played a single minute at center until that game.
He hasn't.
There's not any great names out there. I mean, what we're talking about is Dwayne Dedmon and guys like that. But you know, if any of these guys were any good, they'd already be on a team. But it feels like they just need another body. Now, how you do that, I suppose, is the tough part. The only non-guaranteed deal that they have is Michael Mulder. They're not waiving Michael Mulder. And so you'd have to find probably a place to dump Alan Smilagic, who is very far away from being an NBA player. He really should be in the G League. He should not be on a 15-man roster. He's got upside. I like the potential there. It's a good story. But you could waive him, and he is not going to get claimed. Like, there's not an NBA team out there that is dying to make a move for Alan Smilagic. And so you could probably just add him to the Santa Cruz roster and let him, you know, develop there for 3 or 4 years and then give him a chance at that point. Because I think he's that far away. But what do you think? What do you think they should do now?
That's the thing, kind of like what you're saying. I mean, if they did bring someone in, I mean, it's going to be, they have to, you know, have the 6 negative COVID test. And also they're not going to be able to contribute immediately. But I just feel like maybe for, you know, future reference, they just have someone to rely on and to go back on. Because like you said, Looney, he has an injury history. And I just feel like maybe they need a little bit of cushion just, you know, because right now, I mean, that center position, it's, they have no one. Right. So you don't want to be like that. You don't want this to happen again, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
And you've got 2 centers right now who are not playing for you in Chris and Smilagic, right? You've got 2 centers that you can't really count on a 15-man roster. That's just, it's really hard to go an entire season, especially when you consider not just injuries, but the nature of this year where anybody can just, they're about to go on a 4-game trip here. This is when teams typically face some of the coronavirus challenges, right? When they're in these strange hotels and new places. And so who's to say that Eric Paschal or Draymond Green or somebody doesn't get nipped for contact tracing or something. And now, okay, now you're really to the point of maybe playing Kelly Oubre at center. And I asked Steve Kerr this after the Celtics game. I said, how comfortable are you, or at what point will you be uncomfortable? How small could you go before you get to that point? And he said, basically until we play Steph Curry at center.
That was hilarious.
And I thought it was kind of trite, but it was also telling in that everything's kind of on the table this season, and rightfully so. And I think that's true. But speaking of everything being on the table, they're trying to figure out what to do with Kelly Oubre. There's so many shades of the D'Angelo Russell situation last year here to me, where it's a little bit of, it's a smaller scale situation, but both players very good in a vacuum, inarguable, very productive throughout their careers. And I think Kelly Oubre is a good player. And I, despite some of these numbers, I still think he has a net positive impact on this team because the energy and all that stuff, it's cliche. And it's like kind of coach speak, but that stuff does tend to matter throughout a season. You know, it does get guys hyped up to play defense a little bit more when they see him, you know, drawing charges and celebrating first downs like he's Rob Gronkowski out there or whatever. And it's just, it's fun and it's interesting. And I think he still has a positive impact, but the numbers are still pretty bad. When you have Curry and Oubre on the floor together, they are a -7 in 100 possessions. This was from CBS Sports. Credit to them for finding this stat. Curry and Oubre together, the Warriors are -7 in 100 per 100 possessions. Curry without Oubre, they explode to +16.2 points per 100 possessions. Dang. I mean, that is such a dramatic swing, Whitley. It is at the point now where I don't think that you could play Kelly Oubre and Steph Curry together at all. It's not working. The fit isn't right. Kelly Oubre has no idea how to work next to Steph Curry within this Steve Kerr motion offense. He's just struggling with it. And at some point, you can acknowledge he's a good player, and that's true. But what is also true is that he's not the best fit for this roster, just like D'Angelo Russell last year. What do you think about trying to trade him? Are there names out there? What can they do with him?
Okay, Kelly Oubre, I've always been a fan of him. I loved watching him when he was in Phoenix, and I was really excited when the Warriors went and got him. Obviously, they needed, you know, some more depth on the wing after the Clay's injury. But it's been a roller coaster ride. It has been so up and down, and he's kind of like a little tease because we've seen flashes of what he can be, and he's had some good games. But what's more concerning is his consistency from game to game, and not even so much game to game. Sometimes it's minute to minute. Like we saw in the Celtics game, he had a good start. He was doing decent. And then he had that missed dunk, and it went downhill from there.
Right.
So that's why, too, it's just like Steve Kerr, even not even just about trading Kelly Oubre, but what he can do with not playing him with Steph. Is it time to take him out of the starting lineup? Would he be willing to do that? And like I keep saying, they're past the 20-game point now, and that's when you have to start questioning, like, okay, maybe this isn't working out because the Kelly Oubre experience to date, I don't think is. Obviously, we've heard of Lonzo Ball. I'm not the biggest Ball fan. Do you think about him?
I understand the reasoning for starting him. There's nowhere else to put him, number one. That second unit has been a little less dangerous with Oubre in place of Andrew Wiggins. It has just not been as effective. But the net ratings across the board and other lineups have been better. So I think it's a worthwhile exchange in kind of moving Oubre around and swapping his rotation pattern for Wiggins like they did the last, you know, handful of games. But I understand having – if the mission statement, and it has been this, has been top 10 defense. We want to be a top 10 defense. Yeah. Well, Kelly Oubre gives you the best chance at doing that. How he guarded LeBron James a few nights ago was very impressive. It's the best singular thing he has done all season. Now, that's a little anecdotal because, you know, his defense, I thought, has been a little bit inconsistent. It's how good he has been, I thought, has been a little overstated by the Warriors. But again, I guess they're trying to, you know, give him credit wherever they can find it. But, you know, do you really want Damian Lee guarding LeBron in that situation? Do you want Kent Bazemore? No, you don't. Like, Kelly Oubre still provides something there. And I don't know that if you swap out Oubre for Kent Bazemore, for example, that the offense gets so much better that it's worth what you're giving up defensively. And if the Warriors want to be a top 10 defense, that would be the way to do it. And you know, at the end of these first quarters, they kind of get to that lineup that everybody has been wanting to see, which would be, when everybody's healthy, James Wiseman at center and Kent Bazemore or Damian Lee at that two guard spot instead of Oubre. You're getting a little bit more floor spacing, and then you're getting Wiseman on the floor with that. And so I think there's ways to sort of get around it and limit those minutes that Oubre plays with Steph as much as possible. But I still think that they're kind of, there's so much calculus going on in trying to move Oubre around that it might just end up getting to the point where, listen, there's nowhere for this guy to play. It's just not working. It's too much of an exercise to figure out how to limit his negative impacts. And I guess maybe the positive impacts aren't worth it. It's just, it's such an exercise for this team to be moving Oubre around that at some point it just feels like, and by the way, he's a free agent after this year. He's probably not coming back. Even if he plays well, you know, he's probably going to be out of the Warriors' price range anyway. So do you just move him? I think they should trade him.
I'll be right back with Whitley, but first let's talk about betonline.ag. The Super Bowl is here this Sunday, and there's only one place that has you covered, one place I trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Tons of prop bets to get in on. You can get in on the over-unders, the lines, whatever you want. Make the Super Bowl entertaining for you. You might not be able to go to your usual Super Bowl party because of the pandemic. Put a little money on the game to get a little invested. Maybe get your friends together and put a pool together. And they can all use the same promo code to get a little bit of a discount here. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also talk about our friends at CBDMD. The holidays are finally behind us, which means it's time to catch up on some much-needed sleep. And even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep better. CBD PM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And if you want to relax a little bit before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience, and are available in lavender or eucalyptus scents, as well as soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. And to make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off on your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's cbdmd.com, promo code NBA for 25% off on your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
I've got a few ideas, but nothing's gonna super excite Warriors fans, I don't think. I mean, could you move him to the Knicks for, you know, Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina? Mm-hmm. Like, you can get a flyer on Kevin Knox and Ntilikina, two former lottery picks who have completely fallen out of the rotation in New York. But they're under contract on smaller deals for next year, so maybe you take a flyer on them. Maybe you're able to dump Smiley Geach in that same trade. You're taking much less salary back, so for Joe Lacob, it would save some of the luxury tax concerns that he might be worried about. Mm-hmm. Do you move Kelly Oubre to Miami and get Mo Harkless? You know, maybe Kelly Olynyk or something. But Harkless is just as shaky as an outside shooter as Oubre, so I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. That to me is like more rearranging deck chairs. The one that does interest me is, do you call up Brooklyn and offer them Kelly Oubre, a Brooklyn team that needs more length and defense? Mm-hmm. Do you hustle plays and Oubre certainly does that. Do you trade Oubre to them for Spencer Dinwiddie and maybe a future second round pick? Because Dinwiddie's out for this year, but he's under contract for next year. And, you know, you got a bunch of guards that are entering free agency, and Dinwiddie's probably better than any of them. Mm-hmm. And if he can come back healthy, that's the big if. But if he can come back healthy, that'd be a nice bench piece to have next season. But that would very much sort of be punting on a key rotation spot this season.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. But, and like I said, it's just been, we haven't heard much. And I don't know what the Warriors are thinking, what Bob's thinking. But you'd have to think at this point, they're starting to lean towards something needs to happen.
Yeah,
because it's not working. It's not working at all.
I want to go back to the Lonzo Ball thing. I can't decide if I like Lonzo Ball.
I don't, and it's not because of his dad. I just thought he's always been so overhyped. I mean, even when he was with the Lakers and stuff, and his shot, obviously he's kind of revamped his shot, and it looks better than it used to. Because remember, he used to have that terrible.
That weird around the world.
Yes, gosh. It looked terrible. I'm like, how did your dad let you shoot like this? But I'm not a big Lonzo Ball fan at all. And I think he's actually decent on defense too, but I am not about that trade. Yeah. When I first heard that, and obviously that was just hearsay and rumor. It wasn't, you know, anything. I think they called the Warriors and asked about it, yeah. But that was it.
I think I like Lonzo a little bit more than you do. I just like his playmaking feel, and I think the Warriors mm-hmm. could use that this year and going forward. But I will say this. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but Bob Myers has kind of made the most obvious move every chance he's gotten over the last year. You know, mm-hmm. the D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins trade was just an obvious, you know, trade machine thing that made the rounds for months on Twitter. And it ended up just being the trade that the Warriors ended up making. James Wiseman was the most obvious pick at number two because mm-hmm. he played a, you know, quote unquote position of need. And because of the upside there, and instead of trading back or reaching or anything like that, they take Wiseman at number two. Kelly Oubre was the guy that everybody kind of circled as, all right, this would be an obvious target if they're going to use the trade exception. They end up using the trade exception on Kelly Oubre. And now that the Kelly Oubre experiment's not really working, everybody's like, well, look, it would solve everybody's problems if you just swapped Oubre for Lonzo Ball, who, you know, Ball's not working out in New Orleans right now. Maybe both GMs just decide, you know, the hell with it. Let's just trade a problem for a problem and hopefully, you know, something gets solved in the process. But mm-hmm. Again, not saying it's right or wrong, but if you kind of look at the pattern of moves that Bob Myers has made, it's sort of been, you know, what the Twitter GMs out there would also do.
exactly.
And so and for that reason, I'm not ready to rule out the fact. And by the way, we know that they have been very upfront about the fact that they have had at least one conversation with New Orleans. Brian mm-hmm. Windhorst is now saying that there maybe have been more conversations since then. It would not shock me, Whitley, if by the trade deadline in March, Lonzo Ball was on the Warriors and Kelly Oubre was on the Pelicans. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Really? Yeah. Really?
It would not shock me.
See, when Steve kind of like pushed that aside and was like, oh, they called us, they didn't even make an offer. I was like, okay, maybe it's just, you know. But wow, that's interesting.
I'm kind of just going with the patterns here, you know? Yeah. And look, I think Lonzo, for what the Warriors need, everybody looks at shooting and all that stuff. I think, again, going back on and looking at patterns, they have always surrounded Steph with defense and playmaking. And if you can get a three-point shooter out of one of those players, bonus. But that's not the first two things that they're trying to check off. And you mentioned Lonzo. There is potential on defense. There's obviously the playmaking, the passing skills. Like, he could very much be a Sean Livingston type for this team. And you could bring him off the bench. He could play next to Steph Curry. He's got the length there. You're hoping the three-point shot comes around. You're kind of dealing with the same problems that you have with Kelly Oubre, but where mm-hmm. Kelly Oubre's, you know, niche skill is put back dunks and jumping out of the gym, Lonzo Ball's mm-hmm. niche skill is, you know, transcendent playmaking and court vision. And I just
That's interesting, because I didn't think that far into it. But yeah, Lonzo's playmaking, because we've seen Kelly Oubre, his playmaking ability isn't great. And he'll take some very terrible shots at times when Steph's wide open. So Lonzo, if they did have a playmaker like Lonzo Ball, you know what? Maybe it would work. Maybe you're kind of changing my mind a little bit, Wes. Now that you kind of like thought it out. But yeah.
Who's been your favorite player to watch this year?
My favorite player to watch?
Yeah, on the Warriors.
Andrew Wiggins. You want to know why?
Yes.
Because and I know we're 21 games in, but the very first game of the season, I was like, this is going to be his year. I just had the feeling that this was going to be his career season. He's not his best year yet, just because he's had time now to play with Steph and Draymond, and they make everyone better around them. But Andrew Wiggins, obviously he struggled in the Celtics game, and he struggled the first two games of the season. But other than that, he's been very consistent. His three-point shot has been very reliable, which the Warriors need desperately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Andrew Wiggins definitely has been my favorite. And also Juan Toscano-Anderson, I love his story. It's hard not to root for a guy like that who's on a two-way contract, who has clearly earned his way in the NBA. Everyone loves him. Oakland native. So I really like watching Juan too.
I agree with Wiggins. I think he's been an absolute revelation for them. And if they could get – I actually think they should give him the ball more. You know, he's mm-hmm. averaging about 18, 19 points per game. If that could – go up to 20 to 22, 23 points per game, just a little bit more help for Steph. Like, mm-hmm. wouldn't you like to see, I can't believe I'm saying this, wouldn't you like to see Andrew Wiggins run more pick and roll and stuff like that?
I would, yes. No, I agree. And another thing this season, all I keep thinking about when I watch them is when Klay finally returns, whenever that will be, you know, sometime next season, I just think about the spacing. When you have Klay back, Andrew Wiggins, he's going to have so many opportunities to score. And I just think the Steph, Wiggins, Klay, I think that's going to be so fun to watch next season. That's something I keep thinking about.
Yeah, I think Warriors fans love to try to create these superstar trades. Can you go get Bradley Beal? Can you go do this? Can you go do that? And the Warriors, I think, are very comfortable with exactly what you said. Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond Green, James Wiseman, Eric Paschal comes off the bench. You get some contributors from guys like Mulder and Damian Lee and you know, Marquise Chris and some of these other guys, maybe if they all re-sign. And I think they're comfortable with that group going forward. I think that if everybody gets back healthy and if Clay looks, you know, 80% of what he was in 2019 before the ACL tear, that team is a title contender, right?
I think so for sure. And Clay, he just has such a pure shot. That's why I'm not. And we see what Kevin Durant's done this season and how he's come back from that Achilles injury. Obviously, Clay, he's had an ACL and an Achilles injury, but Clay's shot is so pure. I'm not so much concerned about if he's going to come back the same. I think he has a very good chance of returning, and we see the Clay that, you know, we've seen in previous years. But yeah, I definitely think they'll be title contenders with the group that they have with Steph or with Clay.
Final question for you, Willie. Over at betonline.ag, I'm looking at the prop bets for the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, over under 2.5 passing touchdowns in the Super Bowl. What do you like there?
Over under? You know, I don't bet, and I don't. So, okay, here's my thing. I'm really superstitious. So when it comes to bets, I don't judge me. But I am so superstitious when it comes to the Chiefs. That's why a lot of times this season I started tweeting more. Mm-hmm. But last season and lots of games, you'll see I don't tweet at all. It's because I feel like if I talk about them, that they're going to lose.
I don't blame you at all. I'm ridiculous. No, you're not. I believe that you absolutely have an impact on the game. And you're super.
Thank you.
And you know what? Maybe they don't. But do you want to be the person who finds out and ruins it for all Chiefs fans? That would be selfish. And so I absolutely don't blame you. I used to carry around the same Miami Dolphins football when I was a kid in my house. Because God forbid, if I stopped holding it during the football game, the Dolphins would lose. It turns out they lost all the time anyway, and the football didn't help. But, you know.
It's in the head. Say if I move a seat, if I, you know, go sit somewhere else and all of a sudden the Chiefs score and they start doing good, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to sit here for the rest of the game.
That's right. No, if I'm in the bathroom and the Dolphins score, I'm listening to the game from the bathroom.
That's exactly how I am. I know when I used to play basketball back in the day, say if I wore a certain, this is actually really disgusting. I cannot even believe I'm admitting this. But if I wore a certain pair of socks and I, you know, went off and had a really good game, I would not watch the socks until I had a bad game. And that's so embarrassing that I'm admitting this, but that's just how superstitious I am.
I have told this story when I used to be the host of Locked On Heat, but I wore the same undershirt for every game of the 2012 finals when the Heat beat the Thunder. I wore the same undershirt every game.
Really? See, you're making me feel better.
Yes. No.
Where people are like, I thought I was just the exception. I was just, you know, being weird.
Willie, for more Kansas City Chief tweets during the Super Bowl, can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me at WSandretto on Twitter, and I'm a hot mess when the Chiefs are on, but if you want to give me a follow, at WSandretto.
Thank you very much for coming on, Willie. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WCGoldberg. Email them to wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you here tomorrow morning.